Let's take him to the police.
Are you hosting this one, Danny?
Hi, Ron's hosting this one. Hello, and welcome to Famicast 113, your Famicast for the beginning of November 2017. I'm your host, Danny Bivens, and I'm joined by James Charlton.
In the rightful place, that's right. Cyrus, in your face.
Just watch your back, James. Cyrus might be coming back to take your spot again. And speaking of Cyrus, Cyrus is here too. Hey, Cyrus.
It's me. I'm slowly creeping back to last place as usual.
Yes.
Bringing in the rear.
That would be Mr. Ty Sugar.
Watch your butt.
Hold on to your butts. Yes.
Cancho time.
Oh, God.
What?
Well, we got a lot of really exciting games to talk about. We've been playing a lot of different stuff. Quite a bit of news is actually going on as well. Yeah, I think.
Why are you saying that plural? There's only one game that matters.
Oh, there are others. Cyrus and I know. Ty always knows. Ty's always playing something new.
Yeah, I always like dig up some like fucking weird game from the bottom of a sarcophagus. Hey guys, look what I found.
Well, speaking of sarcophagi, is that how you say that?
Yeah.
Plural.
I like it.
Yes. Well, Ty, how about you go ahead and kick us off with new business?
You're just blue-balling the audience.
Hell yeah.
Ty's been in an odyssey of his own. What have you been playing, Ty?
Hey!
Check this out, the game everyone's been talking about. Wow. A shmup made by a bunch of Polish people.
Yes.
Yeah, Skyforce Anniversary. Pretty sure there's like a new one coming out, so I think it would be an ideal time to talk about this. So this came out on the Wii U, I guess, and there's like a new one coming out like this month. Am I right?
Skyfall?
I have never heard of any of these things.
Okay.
It's a top-down shooter. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
If it's a shmup and Cyrus hasn't heard of it, then
yeah.
we're all doomed.
What did I just fucking tell you? Like haunted video games from the nether.
Yeah.
You boot this shit up and it reminds you that Ben drowned.
What?
I think I caught that reference.
Yeah, there's a little internet in joke for you.
From Lost?
No. Okay. I've never seen Lost.
Oh, actually. Wait, yeah, I got this one now.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't get it. I don't even know what's happening anymore.
You will get it.
Okay.
go on.
Okay. So about a video game, the Skyforce Anniversary, you know, it's a top-down shmup. It's designed to be very retro, at least, you know, in terms of style. But it doesn't really play like an arcade shmup. It seems very much designed for home and console, because you upgrade your ship a lot, like over like 20 hours.
God.
By playing the same levels again and again, or
sort of. Yes.
Okay. I think like the campaign is like 20 hours for a shmup. I'm like, God.
No, it's 10 levels, but each level has basically four objectives, and also there's 1, 2, 3, 4 levels of, or 4 difficulties of every level that unlock once you get all the medals. So, yes, you'll be redoing stages a lot, but focusing on different objectives, and basically just trying to do all the stuff. Basically, the objectives are usually, you know, kill 100% of enemies, rescue 10 humans, which is the thing. You just, like, park your ship over them for a few seconds. There's, like, 10 or so in a level.
Human.
That's human. It says human, which I thought was really weird and off-putting, because it's not like you're fighting robots or aliens. It's very much, you know, fighter planes.
Hmm. Yeah, I just watched I just watched the trailer of this. Yeah, it is on the Wii U. It came out in March. And yeah, it looks very shiny and glossy and nice and colorful.
It's really, I love the art style in this game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you better like it, because all 10 levels look the same. Well, okay, it's not that bad. There's a little bit of a mix, but yeah, it's kind of the same rocks and jungle for all the levels.
So
there's a few areas that are kind of, I don't know, concrete and metal, maybe.
Cyrus, last episode, you were talking about Cinemora. That was like a left to right scroll, the right?
Yeah, this is vertical.
Bottom to up, vertical kind of one. Yeah.
But it's similarities. Yeah, but it still uses the full screen. You know, a lot of vertical shmups, they're like tall screen. I don't know what you say.
It's letterboxed or whatever it is, but
yeah.
Well, you've got to say tape mode, like most American podcasters do.
Tape mode? Do they say that?
I've never heard that.
I'm like a hardcore shooter, man. I was playing in tape mode and everything, man.
No, you play your vertical scroller. You just turn it sideways and you lie on your side and play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. So it feels like a lot of really old arcade shmups like that. Like in the arcade, you'd have the 4:3 monitors and it'd still be like a vertical scroll. So it kind of has that feeling to it, I would say.
So is this like a poverty game, as you call it? Is it like super cheap for everybody, for all concerned?
Yeah.
Right on.
I'm currently playing it on the Xbox Games Pass. So it cost me $0 on top of, you know, what I pay for my subscription. But I've chosen to play this out of like 100 other games. So there you go.
So it should be happy about your backhanded praise.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to try to 100% it. It's very grindy is the thing.
Hmm.
Like, you'll probably won't get all 4 medals in one go. And then, yeah, it'll probably take you a few tries for each one. Well, not each one, but basically a play for every medal, I would say, on average. And then you have, like, 10 times... 4 times 3 medals to get in the game. So you're looking at playing a lot of stages.
It's currently $9.99 on the American Wii U eShop. It's called Skyforce Anniversary.
Yeah. It's
probably never been released in Japan.
Nah. Well, have any eShop games been released in Japan?
None of them.
None of them, exactly.
Now, did you see the thing about a new one coming out?
Yeah, the Reloaded. It's coming to Switch.
Yeah.
Skyforce Reloaded. I'll wait for Revelations.
Yeah, and that news like just came out like a couple days ago, I guess. Am I right?
Yes.
I think it was like 3 days ago, the first notice I'm seeing of it.
Yeah, so there you go. This is actually timely.
And it's not to be clear, it's not a Skylanders game.
No, it's
you can't play a Spyro.
No, you have a red ship and you shoot the other ships. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, apparently Skyforce Reloaded started as a mobile game, so I wonder how that works out.
What was the game? I think it was a shoot 'em up. I don't know why. I know why I thought of this, because I'm mixing Skylanders with a shoot 'em up. Wasn't there like something where you could build the ship and attach it to your controller? Do you remember hearing? I remember someone on RFM was talking about this.
I forgot the name. Isn't it like Ubisoft Publishing? It's coming out on like PS4 and Xbox, Switch.
And you take things off it, and it actually changes your ship in real time on the screen.
Yeah, Starlink, Battle for Atlas.
I mean, it's like literally the worst idea ever, but you know. It's,
I'm surprised this late in the game with Toys to Life now, especially that they're dying, they still kind of gave it the green light, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if it could like turn into some sort of really interesting pro play, like if it's a serious shmup, but I'm guessing it's not.
No, I don't think so.
Only some phallic-shaped ship. That would the only thing that would make that game.
Like I want to see like one guy like juggling all the parts with one hand while playing with the other. kind of like, did you guys ever see the video of the dude playing through Ikaruga, playing both players at once?
Yeah, it's bonkers and amazing, and it makes me feel inadequate in all my endeavors.
With Donkey Kong bongos? That's how I play Ikaruga.
Motion sensors affixed to a gigantic sandwich. I saw that.
Yeah.
That was fucking amazing.
Back of the box, that.
So I'll report back if I 100% the game. I feel like I'm like 70%.
Okay.
And also I got Puyo Puyo Tetris.
Oh, okay.
That's a good game.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you about it. It's Puyo Puyo and Tetris, and
yeah, that's kind of how I felt about it too. I mean, for better or worse.
For some reason, I'm playing the X-Bone version.
Is this a download one?
No, it's actually like the only game on Xbox that is not downloadable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because you have to be really careful. It's like if you want to have it download, you can't be in Japan on a Friday or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's just not on the store.
Right.
Yeah, so
but it is.
I bought the physical version. Yep. And so I have one of the rarest Xbox One games, I guess.
So cool. Have you played much of it, or what have you been doing with it?
I played a little bit into it, not very far. You know, there's a story mode, and it's kind of tedious. You got
these. Kinda does not do that story mode justice. That is a long ass story mode, and they don't stop talking.
Okay, so I'm probably just gonna start skipping all the dialogue.
Yeah, I saw
something funny on it, but for some reason it's like the only Xbox One game I've seen that doesn't let you capture pictures and video. And it's only during the cutscenes, like just.
They don't want spoilers for this. They're following like the Persona 5 thing, where you can't take screenshots or you get sued.
No, right. I've seen stuff like that too with like videos. Like I took for NBA game I played, it wouldn't have any sound because there was like, you know, licensed music, and they didn't want any of that stuff to get out. So you can have the video, but you couldn't do the sound. And I don't know.
That's weird. But this is the only time I've seen it come off on Xbox. Mm. And I don't know why like anybody would care about this particular thing. I guess maybe like a grade school girl somewhere would care about story spoilers, I guess.
I'm sitting right here, Ty.
This is actually downloadable on Switch.
Yeah, on the Switch.
Yeah, I bought it on Switch downloaded.
Not me.
So yeah, that's weird. That's weird.
Well, I mean, it took a while for it to come out on the X-Bone 2, didn't it?
No, yeah, I thought it was out like right away, like but then again the X-Bone didn't come out in Japan for like a year after the American launch.
Yeah, and like geez, the original version of the game came out like in 2013 or 14 or something like that.
Yeah, so it was probably, I think it was a launch game for Japanese X-Bone, which means nothing to anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and three other people, right?
Yeah.
Man, we don't do X-Bone charts anymore. I miss those days.
I know, right?
199. Yeah. Oh, I called it.
Xbox One X ships like day after tomorrow.
Everywhere but Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little fishing boat is bringing all five of them over right now from China. Right?
Yeah. I know all five purchasers.
you're just going to all meet at the docks. It's like, all right, yep, here we are. Just hand them out.
Right.
Good. Good times.
All right, so that's another thing I guess I'm going to report back on.
Okay.
Having one of the first Xbox One X's in Japan.
There it is.
It's got your name slash on it. Only.
Yeah. It's got your name on it, literally.
Yeah.
Cool.
That does it for me, I guess.
Okay, well, when you get the Xbox One, I definitely want to hear about it, like, differences, but obviously that's not today.
I don't have a 4K monitor, but I do have a 2K monitor.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes. Let's see if it'll do anything over 60 frames a second.
Okay. 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 Well, as James kind of alluded to, I think a lot of people out there may be curious about what we, namely James and myself, think about a recently released game. And actually, James, I'll let you go ahead and just take this, and I'll kind of just chime in a little bit, because I have another game I wanted to talk about that no one will ever talk about ever anywhere. So,
Sonic Forces?
Yeah, go for it.
Super Mario Odyssey. I mean, that's what the people are paying for, this podcast, right?
Yes.
So, Danny, how far are you in? I just got my 200th moon.
Ooh. No, not even close. I think I want to have like 50 or 60, something like that.
Okay, so you haven't got past the tutorial yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, man, this is interesting because maybe with Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild coming out in the same year, it's made a lot of people think like, are you a Mario guy or a Zelda guy? I'm pretty sure Cyrus is a Zelda guy. Ty, I'm not quite so sure. I might say he was a Mario guy, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I guess.
Danny, I would say you're a Zelda guy.
I would say that, but I don't know. I'll touch on that a little bit more after we kind of get into the game. But
yeah, but with Mario Odyssey, it kind of made me realize I am a Mario guy. Like, Mario is my thing. You know, this is nothing against Zelda. I just mean, gun to the head, which one would you choose kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Because like this is like all the 3D Marios that we've had in the past, and it's like this is kind of like if me and Ty were doing like an AC/DC episode, Armchair Designers Club, this is like going through all the 3D Marios and taking the best points and then making the best Mario 3D Mario out of it. It kind of does that because you know it's got the controls of like, you know, 64 type controls of 64, and it's got like, you know, the variety of missions, and then but it does take some things from Sunshine, like, you know, it's very bright, it's very colorful, you know, it's got like NPCs, but they're not garbage in this version. And you know, it's like an interesting world to explore. And you know, from Galaxy, it's like it adds all the extra moves that Galaxy had, and it's like, even when you like grab a moon, he kind of spins around like he does on Galaxy, you know, like the kind of zero gravity thing. I don't know why they did that.
Imagine.
But like, you know, the kind of focus missions. So it combines like 64 and Galaxy in a way that I didn't think you would be possible. So it's like kind of, you've got focus missions, but you can veer anywhere you want. So like, which is what we liked about, you know, 64, you know, like there were other things to do. But, the cool thing that Odyssey does that it has like these kind of quote unquote story missions, story moons that you can do, which when you get them, it changes the level, which is what like one of the bad points of Sunshine was that, you know, it was, and maybe even 64 is that there was a very kind of set thing. Like once you got a star, it kind of changed the level and it's like, okay, now you have to do this star. And we've changed the level. So you can't do the first thing anymore. Yeah, you can only do the second mission. So Odyssey kind of does that, but like you can always go back to and do anything. So it, when you hit the story moon, it does change the world, but not in any dramatic way. Like you can always go back and like do whatever you want to do.
Right, you can still access those areas it through some type of way. That's what I've noticed.
Right. And the thing that no 3D Mario has done, you know, only Banjo did this, is like how you can get like, you know, the, like in Banjo, it was the jiggies. Like in Odyssey, it's the moons. You can just grab as many as you want on the way. Like you're aiming for one moon, but you might get like 15 other ones on the way before you even get there. You might not even want to do the story one. And that's what I've been doing. That's how I've got so many moons. It's like you only need whatever, maybe between 8 and 15, and it allows you to go to the next world. But like, you know, I've always like doubled or tripled what moons I needed to get onto the next world. It's like I'm not even thinking like, oh no, I need to get to the next world. I'm just like, okay, I'm just enjoying myself in this world, and I'm just getting shitloads of moons. And then when you go back to the Odyssey and, you know, dump the moons that you've collected, it like it goes way over the thing that you needed, right? And then you can go on to the next stage. So you really can do it at your own pace, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And but I mean, before the game was coming out, we were discussing about how they have the kind of breath of the wilded Mario kind of thing. And they kind of have in a way, like, you know, there's a lot more things to do, and you can collect things on the way to, you know, the thing. You don't have to do it in any particular order, but it does have more structure than Breath of the Wild, obviously. Like, you know, you do have set worlds, obviously, and you go through it on a kind of very linear basis and on the overall world map kind of thing. But like, yeah, just there's so many things to do. I think that's the kind of link to the Breath of the Wild kind of thing. But I think that's where the similarities end, kind of thing. There's not really anything else. Like like I said, you know, you're in these kind of set worlds. So like when you're in the cookie world, you know, that's where you are. You're not going to bump into another world while you're there. You know, that's where you are. And if you want to leave it, you have to go back to the Odyssey and then go to the next world, right? But yeah, I think the variety of worlds is something like I didn't expect. And obviously, I'm not going to spoil anything other than the stuff that we've seen in previews and stuff, but like, yeah, there's some worlds that I've seen and unlocked. I'm like, holy shit, they kept this secret like, wow, really well. I had no idea this was in the game, and yeah, it's been genuinely surprising and amazing. And if you're a fan of Mario 64, I think you would really like this game. It's like that. It's got some very hard missions, but it's also got like tons of other side stuff that's not that hard. Like there's these, because obviously with the cap thing, this is the similarity to Sunshine. So with Sunshine, you had the jetpack, which like made everything easy for you, but then you had those stages which took it away from you. And then, you know, people complained it was too hard or whatever. But like Odyssey does that. Like obviously you've got the cap, which is very useful, you know. And there are places where you go in and you have to kind of leave your cap on a coat stand outside the door to go in. So you have to do those missions without your cap, you know. And I was like, okay, that's the Sunshine thing they've got. Like taking away the really useful thing that you've got used to just for like a little while and do like a little challenge. And then when you come out, you get your hat back and you continue on your way.
That's such a cute touch, by the way, of hanging your hat on a coat stand. Like, right. They didn't need to put that flourish in the game.
Right.
When I first saw that thing, I thought it was a scarecrow, and I was like, "What in the
oh,
hell?"
Oh yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, that's it. Okay. Is exactly a scarecrow. But you know, I just the but,
yeah,
that's the basically what it is, isn't it? It's, but like when you're in these kind of like challenge rooms, you know, which you do sometimes have your cap, you sometimes don't. Most of the times you do. Like the first moon is obviously quite easy or like obvious to get. I mean, they're not easy as you progress, but like there's always like a second one, and that's the thing that I love. It's like, okay, I've got the obvious one. Now there's another one in this room. I know it and I have to find it. So like it's always like using the mechanic that you've learned in that challenge room, but then just pushing you further, like making you do something really dangerous with the thing that you've just learned. So like if you're good, you can get a second one. You know, if you pussy out and you just want to go down out the pipe, that's fine. You can do that if you want to and just get the one moon that was in the room. But like, yeah, I can't do that. I need to find that second harder one before I can leave. And it's amazing. It's always satisfying because, you know, like, You sometimes have like just an inkling. You're like, okay, it would be mental if I jumped off that onto that tiny little thing and went behind that. That would be mental and hard to do, but I bet there's something behind there if I do that. And you try it, and you barely make it, and then sure enough, it's like it's hidden behind that thing that you thought. And like, yes, you know, it was worth me doing that. no bit of the level is ever wasted. And that's what I love about this. It's like you can go way out and just do these kind of impossible like platforming skills and you think, oh shit, if I get out of here and there's nothing there, I'm going to be fucking pissed. But there is, and there's always a reward there. That's the amazing thing. Like, even when you think you're breaking the game, you're not. They've thought of it and they've put something there for you to collect. And that's amazing. Really amazing feeling. And yeah, I would say definitely like 64 with a splash of galaxy and an occasional hint of sunshine. But like, it's so fucking dense. Like, you think all these levels are not that, some of them are not that big when you first see them, but like, you check the moon list and there's like 69 moons. You're like, fucking hell, 69 moons in one world. That's like almost, you know, half of Mario 64 in one world, you know. It's crazy. I don't know. Do you know how many moons there are, Danny, in the game?
I think I saw a number, but I don't even want to say.
I mean, 200, I've barely feel like I'm, I don't know, a fifth of the way through the game.
Yeah, so. I think there's a lot more.
Is it like Zelda where they have like 900 Korok seeds, but you only need like 400 of them to totally max out your gauge?
Well, yeah, you're not maxing out any gauges, but like getting to the end, I guess.
Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
well, about an hour before I started recording the podcast, I got to the final Bowser's Castle stage. I don't think it's a spoiler to say Bowser's Castle is at the end of this game.
Damn it.
But like, and like I said, I'm on 200 and I barely feel like I've got, well, I know for a fact when I look at the moon list, like there's just huge swaths of gray, you know, like unfound, you know, moons. So yeah, I would guess, you know, just times 200. Yeah, probably. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to say, but several hundred more moons to go. But you don't need that. Like, if you wanted to get to Bowser's Castle, where I am, the absolute minimum, just like I said, just get the minimum amount of moons. Like World 1, to get from World 1 to World 2, for example. It's not called World 1 to World 2, by the way. I'm just using that as a easy to understand example. But like, you only need to get 11 or whatever. So you get those 11, move on to the next one. It'll ask you to get 12. So you get 12 and you move on to the next one. You could just do that. Yeah. I bet you probably only need about 70 or 80 to get to Bowser's Castle.
Probably. And Si, like, from what I've played of it, like compared to like the Korok seeds, like every time I found a Korok seed, I wasn't like really excited. I was like, oh, one of these things, you know. Right. But like, you get a moon, you're like, oh, awesome, this is like gonna be useful, you know. It's gonna fill up this gauge, or I can use this down the road for another gauge, or, you know, or something like that. That's like kind of going on in my mind as I'm getting these things, so it's a little bit more satisfying than getting like these Korok seeds. I mean, I didn't even get that many Korok seeds. I'm never gonna go back and get all of them. Right. I'm probably not gonna get anywhere. Yeah, I'm probably not gonna get anywhere near like all the moons in this game that are there, but I'll just keep going until I'm done.
I don't think moons and Korok seeds are kind of like related. I think it's more like moons and shrines, I think.
Yeah.
That would be a better comparison. Like, you actually enjoy finding them and you actually enjoy getting them, which is what the shrines are about, right? So, yeah, like I said, you know, getting like, I mean, you're supposed to like defeat the boss to get, when you defeat the boss, you get like a triple moon kind of thing. That's supposed to be like the last one you get of that world, and then you move on to the next one. But like, I've got the amount I need to progress by just staying in like the first couple of rooms or first couple of areas. Like, I've got like 15 just like by barely leaving a certain area, and then you go into the next part of it, and there's like another whole huge area to go. But you're like, I wouldn't even need to do that, but I do it because I want to do it, you know. So by the end of it, I've got like, you know, four times more moons than I ever needed. Yeah. And that's the thing. You totally don't need it. Like, you generally don't need it. Like, if I get 35 moons and I only needed 10, that was completely unneeded because I go back to the Odyssey and it's like, okay, you got the enough that you need to go to the next stage. And that 30 doesn't like roll over. It doesn't say, oh, you got like 20 extra in the last world. Oh, yeah, you can just go straight on. It doesn't let you do that. You have to get 10 new ones in the new world.
Oh, right, okay.
So it is literally completely, quote unquote, pointless to get more moons than you need. But like, yeah, you doesn't feel like that when you're doing it. You're like, yeah, fucking hell, man. I got like 50 moons in this world in your face. So yeah, you never feel like you're wasting your time like you are with the Korok seeds. it's fun, you know. And yeah, I think the best ones, some of my favorite moments are the 8-bit bits, which we've all seen in like trailers. They really do some crazy things with the 8-bit worlds. Like, Danny, have you been to New Donk yet?
No. Well, yes, but no.
Oh, okay. I think I know.
You know what I'm talking about?
But like, I'm not going to spoil any of this. Don't worry. But like the, when you reach the, you know, the end objective of New Donk City, like the story mode, the story moon of that world, like it ends with just this incredible sequence. Like, you've probably heard people hinting about this on Twitter.
Yeah, but, like, I've been hearing constantly talking about how great the ending sequence to the city stage is.
Right. It's just one of those things, like, when you're doing it, you're like, am I doing this? This is fucking mental. It's amazing. Like, you're just, like, beaming from, like, ear to ear. It's just, like, ridiculous. If you're, like, you know, if you're grown up with Mario and stuff, it adds a lot more, I'm sure, but like, you just can't believe how they've remixed all the kind of Mario conventions into this game. It's kind of amazing. It's just like, yeah, you're just constantly smiling and just enjoying what you're doing in Mario Odyssey. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid as many videos as I can. I mean, even when I posted stuff myself, I just try to make sure it's not giving away too much. Like, I think the only video I posted is just me literally falling down a hole as a dinosaur after like just hitting this
spoilers, trampoline. Jesus.
Yeah. So it's like
a dinosaur. Yes. Yeah. I haven't really mentioned the, what do you call it? Like taking over the abilities of like enemies and stuff. Like, yeah, that adds so much like traversal around the worlds. Like there are certain things like you reach a world and there's a certain thing you have to do, and it's kind of a little bit awkward. It's a little bit difficult to do, but like you'll capture an enemy and it's like, oh, okay, this makes it way easier. Or this is like way more fun to do now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing. Like how they fit they've combined like the enemies and the world design and the platforming are just like all beautifully designed together. So like, yeah, it just makes so much sense now. And there's some things, I'm not going to spoil anything, but like, yeah, some of the things that you have to do in the later worlds are just mental. And you can't believe that you can actually do it. You're like, wow, if that enemy's doing something pretty crazy, like if I captured that guy, can I do that? Holy shit, I can. And now I can do this? Like, fuck. Like this, like, you feel like you're breaking the game at times. But, you know, of course, like I said, you know, anytime you feel like you're breaking the game, but you find things that you were supposed to, and it's like, oh yeah, I was supposed to do this all along. They've just layered, just plastered fun things to do everywhere. So I guess it's a more cheerful, fun version of Breath of the Wild. You know, it's just like, you know, you're gonna die a lot, but like, it's not in the kind of harsh way that you die in Breath of the Wild, you know?
Yeah, I think that's, when you brought up earlier about just like, who's more of a Zelda guy, who's more of a Mario guy or something like that. And I always used to consider myself more of a Zelda guy, but I mean, I love Breath of the Wild, don't get me wrong. But as I'm playing Mario, I don't feel any level of, I don't even know if stress would be the right word. But you know, like sometimes in Breath of the Wild, you're playing, you're like, oh God, I am going to die. You know, and then kind of like freaks me out, and I don't know, maybe kind of like makes me a little bit tired. I don't even know if that's even the right word. You know what I mean? This kind of like constantly kind of like pressure on yourself.
And you feel the elements, don't you? Like, you know, you're in this ice world in Zelda and it's like Link's freezing his ass off and you're getting hit by all these enemies insta-killing you from every side, you know? It can get you down, but like with Mario, it's like you die, you lose 10, is it 10 coins or 5 coins?
10,
10 coins, and then you start again. Yeah, finally they've learned how to do live system properly. Yay! Yeah. It only took 35 years, but they did it. So yeah, you lose 10 gold coins and you're right back in the action. And the little flags that you see just kind of like save your progress, and you can actually warp between them as well. So like once you reach like like the peak of something, there's probably going to be a flag up there. You hit the flag and then you can just warp straight back there anytime. Well, if you die, you'll go back to the flag, but like, you know, if you want to go back to another flag, it's totally easy. Just instantly warp there. So yeah, that was something like before the game came out, I was all really wondering like why are there all these flags everywhere? And it's like, okay, now it makes sense. But yeah. And I think the only downside I can think of with Odyssey is that the kind of rabbit characters remind me too much of the Rabbids.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a huge fan of that character design.
That was strange timing to have two Mario rabbit games. Back to back almost.
Right.
I wonder if it's just a coincidence, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the way better than the rabbit's garbage, but like, you know, it's I'm not a huge fan of it, you know. It's not the strongest design in the game. But there's some great boss designs in this in Mario Odyssey, not including those guys. Yeah, they're just kind of a replacement for the Koopa kids, the way I see it. They're just kind of like, you know, the girl version, the fat one, the skinny one, the weird looking one. Yeah. It's whatever.
I'm not like against it. I mean, it's different and I'm always up for something like that. You know, sometimes when you go for something different, you might miss a little bit. And a lot of people seem to think that, you know, with these character designs.
Is it known what the general story of Mario Odyssey is? Is that public knowledge?
Bowser takes Princess Peach. I mean, that's basically it, right?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, the whole wedding thing. Yeah, that is kind of strange. Yeah. I don't really understand that whole wedding theme, but, you know. But when you go from world to world, you know, how they fit in that wedding theme in each world is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But also kind of like, every time they do it, they're like, why is this the thing again? Why is it the wedding thing again? He's like, okay, whatever, you know. You forget about it immediately, but then they remind you of it again in the next world, you know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. James, how are you playing this? Like, are you playing with the motion controls? Are you playing with the Joy-Con turned sideways? Pro?
I'm pro controller. Okay. Pro controller at home, and then I've been playing a bit of this on my commute when I can sit down. Which is not always, but obviously you can't use motion. You could, but I don't use motion.
rest the tablet in your lap and then hope you don't knock it over or somebody else knocks it over.
Yeah, but it is weird how they kind of really trying to force motion controls, but like you don't need it. Like for the longest time, I thought you know, the hat circling around you move, I really thought you needed waggle for that.
Yeah.
But then like hidden in the options, like, or the move list, it's like you can just spin the stick and hit Y. Y is throw your cap, but if you just spin the stick and hit Y, then it does the same move. It's like, okay, well, you know, it would be better to just tell me that, you know.
Yeah, it is kind of obnoxious how, like, even when you first start up the game, it just shows you, like, the Joy-Con. It's like, this is how you have to hold this.
Right.
And then, this like, low. It's kind of like what they did with arms as well. I mean, same type of thing. They're like, this is how you hold the controller. And you can also do this.
Yeah.
Like, small pictures below, you know?
Exactly. I mean, the pro controller kind of has the best of both worlds because you can just, like, use it like a regular controller. And if you want to, you can just, like, you know, flick it to the side or whatever. It does have all the motion stuff built in it. They really want you to use the split Joy-Cons for some reason. Not even in the dock
grip.
They're not the grip. It's like, yeah, they want you to take them out and split it up and do it kind of nunchuck style, like Galaxy style.
Expecting you to play this like on the go, like prop it up on a table somewhere and just snap off the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, but I haven't been playing it the recommended way. Not once have I done that.
Okay, because like when I first started out like you, I just had the pro controller. That's how I played most of my games. And I started playing it, and then I noticed there's a lot of like motion stuff, and I was like, I couldn't wrap my head around like what I needed to do with some of the stuff with the Pro. And then I was like, all right, screw it. And I just went over to the Joy-Con and started doing it. And I don't like the size of those sticks because I've been playing so much with the Pro controller and, you know, right. stuff like that. So it felt a little weird. Not bad, but just like I really prefer the Pro controller for something like that. So I'm probably just going to go back at this point and learn my go with my new knowledge.
I don't think there's anything that you need motion for. I mean, there might have like stick motion, like necessary motion controls to like one of the moons, but you know, let's say 99% of the moons you don't need motion for. But we'll find out. Yeah, but yeah, I think another thing that's different from Zelda is that, you know, unlike the Korok seeds and maybe even the shrines, I'm not even sure if I want to hit the 120 shrines. Maybe I will one day, but like it'll be such a slow process, if you know what I mean. Like with Mario, it's like I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna get every single one of these moons, and it's, whether it kills me or not, you know, I'm just like, I just want to do it, you know, immediately I want to do it. But with Zelda, I'm like, will I get all of the stuff? Maybe, you know, I'm like, I haven't really decided that even now, even like 50 hours into it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, maybe that's just cemented the fact that I am a Mario guy deep down. I mean, yeah, fucking 200%ed both my Galaxy games, you know, and loved every minute of it. So,
yeah,
I don't know if, yeah, maybe they've, I mean, there is a Master Quest of Zelda, right? Like you can complete the game and then do a harder version of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do that with Odyssey, because like with so many moons, are they going to like, you know, then double it and do like harder version of like the whole game? Or is the harder version built into the game in the fact that, you know, you have to get the last whatever?
Rhymanitly, wow. Yeah.
With Galaxy, I think so far Galaxy 2, before Odyssey, Galaxy 2 probably did it the best. And like, you know, you got the 121 stars, and then you could immediately start like a new game with Luigi, but like, or you could choose Mario or Luigi actually. And then the green stars opened up, and the green stars were basically just the stars, but put in slightly different positions, like much harder to get positions. Uh-huh. So like it wasn't in the original position anymore. So you're like, oh shit, like now you have to go up parts of the level that you never went to before. Before they were just like hidden sections, but now you had to go to those bits. And I thought that was really clever. But like, Odyssey kind of does that on every world from the start. It's like, oh shit, like that looks really hard to get up to. But if you go up there, there's already a moon there. You know, you're not unlocking like a second master mode. It's already, the master mode's already in there. Right. You can go do it if you want to, kind of thing. And that's what I like about it, you know. There's no, like, an empty room, anything. Oh, well, maybe in the second mission, you know, in the harder mission mode, it'll be here, but it's already there, so. It's cool. Like it. I like the challenge, and I like the variety and just the amount of stuff to do.
Yeah, like, I'm sure this is not going to be the last time you're going to hear us talk about Mario Odyssey on the show. That's for sure. Like I said, I'm getting through it. James is almost, well, Koopa Castle, you know. And Cyrus is picking it up next week. So
Ty's picking it up in
a month when he picks up his Switch.
So actually, yeah. One thing I heard thought that was kind of interesting is that like Zelda has a DLC pass now. And Mario Odyssey seems like ripe for DLC, like just new worlds just slotted in. That, how would you feel if Mario did get DLC?
I really don't need it. It feels like way enough content. It's like it already, like I reached the point where I thought this was the last world, and then there was like another one that like I literally couldn't believe they put this in the Mario game. And I was like, wow, that world that I'm not going to talk about could have easily been a DLC world, but it's already in there. So like, I really feel like there's enough Mario, you know, the same for Zelda. I really can't believe they're doing DLC for Zelda. It's like, how fucking big is that game?
And me, yeah, I mean, I'm obviously not as far as you and Mario, but like, I'm not against it. But then again, I haven't seen everything. But like, knowing Nintendo, A, they're not going to make this be like a $50, some type of like, you know, pass. And the content that they're going to have out, kind of looking at some of the more recent stuff that they've done, it's probably going to be pretty quality stuff, maybe significant, maybe even adding some kind of story element to it in the fucked up, weird, shallow Mario way, you know?
No, I don't think they'll do it. I'm saying it now. There will be no DLC for Mario.
No Animal Crossing World or F-Zero World like in Mario Kart?
Nah, not happening.
Breath of the Wild crossover.
It's a good game. Because cool. You should get it. If I could like paraphrase Ty, everyone should be playing this game, and if you don't, you're human garbage.
And in Mario Odyssey, you can be human plumber garbage.
Boo.
When Mario sticks his hat on someone, does that person die?
Yes.
Does it hurt?
Very much. He's a big guy.
For you.
You got it.
All right. Well, I think that's enough Mario talk for now. And Sai, how about you go next with some new business?
Oh, we're not going to look at your amazing like things that you're going to play. It says, Mario, it's the police on your...
Oh, no. I'm going to go after you. I just wanted to give you more of a chance to talk. I didn't want to make you go last, too.
That was my...
You're a kind soul.
Yeah, Danny's making Mario my new business, and then he's going to go off on him later, I guess.
Oh, trust me. This is the police. It's going to be crazy. I'm going to be talking about it for 2 hours, so buckle up, boys.
Yeah, so I've just been like polishing off Sin Mori X or Cine Mori X from last time. And I know last week I was pretty harsh on it, saying it's like shoot 'em up for babies or whatever, but it's very unfair. Like I realize I was phrasing that terribly. It's a game that beginners can play, but there's like a ton of hardcore stuff in there too. So it's not like you're going to be bored playing this game. It's just very accessible. So I wanted to correct myself from last time. But the other game I've been playing this week is Morphite, which is a pretty funky game. It had not been on my radar at all until it landed on my lap as a review code. So it's I think it started as like an Android game. Like it's a mobile game ported to consoles, but it really doesn't feel like it. It feels like it was designed for consoles, which is nice.
That's good.
It's like the elevator pitch. It's basically No Man's Sky, that like procedurally generated exploration game.
I love
crossed with Metroid Prime.
Mm.
So which is not a bad combination at all.
Oh, so, do you like Metroid Prime?
Sorry. I love me some Metroid Prime.
Nice. Me too. One of my favorite games.
This is definitely one of those things, if you've got like that itch, you're still waiting for Metroid Prime 4 after that announcement of a title.
The title card, basically. I mean, literally. Yes. Yeah.
Photoshop lesson 101.
Right. This game might scratch a bit of the itch. Like, it feels like they might have bit off a bit more than they can chew with the game, but it still feels like a very good game. It's way better than I was expecting it to be.
Nice.
So it's like the basic gist is you've got a ship, you can fly to any planet, and there's a billion planets because they're all procedurally generated. Then you land down on the planet, and it's like...
Are you serious? Is this No Man's Sky?
This like I said, it's basically No Man's Sky with Metroid. So you pick a planet, you fly to it, and then you drop down, and it becomes Metroid Prime.
But it's more limited in terms of like planets, right? I mean, No Man's Sky, there are literally like millions of procedurally generated things that you can go to.
I honestly don't know how many stars there are because I kept scrolling on that map and it just kept going.
Oh shit! Okay.
This is not what I expected.
Yeah, it's like because. I booted the thing up. I'm like, oh, cool. I can jump between systems. I wonder how many systems there are. And then the map just was like, it's huge. And it's kind of, I think it's a similar system, again, No Man's Sky, where you've got a certain amount of fuel in your ship. Uh-huh. So you can only jump to a system a certain distance away. And then
after you reach a certain point in the game.
Yeah, so you have to like go to that system, and then you land on the system, refuel your ship, and you can go further and further and further.
Right.
And but so the way it switches to Prime then is that you can scan everything. You've got like a little scanner, and it gives you the title of the card. Like in Metroid, you have to like equip the scan visor, and. Okay. In a kind of a clever touch, once you've scanned something, you can then sell that like scan data, and that gives you crafting materials, which you upgrade all your stuff with. So you'll never run out of things to scan because A, they're procedurally generated monsters, so there's billions of them, and you keep selling your scans and getting new ones. So
what's the end game on this then?
So like No Man's Sky, there's not, you can choose to have no end game and just keep planet hopping and exploring and seeing what each new planet shows you, because they're all kind of different. And like I've played about 3 or 4 or 5 hours in it at this point, and like I've met so many different kind of creatures and monsters. I found this one planet just full of dinosaurs, and and I'm like, that's kind of cool,
dinosaur planet.
Yeah, and it was like the really really nice looking dinosaurs, because the game is like at a really striking, like if they made Star Fox like now, like really smooth planes, very limited polygons, like bright shiny neon colors, and that.
Right.
Like, what if they made that on the Switch?
What does it remind me of? That art style has been used in another game, hasn't it? Like that kind of chunky polygon look.
This is the police.
Seriously?
Yes.
I don't know, like Tron, a bunch of games that kind of have this.
Yeah, a bit of Tron. Yeah.
But, so I've really been enjoying it. It's really cool. Like, it's a chill-out game. Even if you decide not to explore, there is an actual story mode to it, which is kind of a cool touch that there's, like, a chain of story planets you can go to. And those planets are not procedurally generated. They've got like big dungeons you have to go through, and you unlock Metroid style power-ups. So like the first planet you get grenades that can blow open caves and other planets you visit, or I've found a bunch of tunnels that look suspiciously like Morph Ball entrances.
Nice.
Like you get a grappling hook later, same as Prime 3. Like it's just all of the Prime stuff in No Man's Sky.
Wow. That's really cool. So, like, the story planets, are they, like, once you're all done, do you think that's where you get credits kind of thing? But then you can continue, do more if you want?
Yeah. So, I'm guessing that, like, as you finish all the story planets, you'll get, like, the ending, which is, like, the ending was the friends you made along the way. And and then it'll just, like, and then you just keep exploring planets as long as you want.
The winner is you.
Yeah. But having said all that, the main hook of the game is you land on a planet, you scan stuff, and it even has like the same Metroid lock-on thing where like you can lock on, your camera will follow the target that you're locked onto. But all of that aiming mechanics are garbage. They are terrible. Like borderline unplayably bad in some cases.
Wow.
Where you have to like, where you're like, say I found a bunch of deer at one point, and I was trying to scan them, and as soon as you scan them, they start to run away because they don't like that. But as soon as they start moving, the aiming controls are so twitchy that like I could not keep these deer in my my target reticle.
In your headlights.
And yeah, these were like reverse deer, alien deer, no headlights for them.
Okay.
And I when I attach the target lock to him, like my target reticle shows it's locked onto the deer, and then I fire my scanning laser, and the scanning laser tracks them too slowly. So like, laser is following them around the level, but it's not actually touching them because keep jumping out of the way.
Do you have to fire a laser at them?
Well, I started firing lasers at them once I finished scanning them.
Maybe that's where you're going wrong.
So what I haven't finished the game. I haven't done all the story missions. I'm hoping that maybe they give me something I can paralyze enemies, or I can freeze them in place just so I can scan them. But even then, it's like, I don't know what is wrong with these controls. It's standard shooting game. You've got left analog stick to move, right analog stick to aim. That's been in every shooter since the dawn of time. Well, Halo, I think. But it's so painful. It is so horrifyingly painful to aim at anything in this game.
And it's not just like a sensitivity thing, is it?
I've tweaked all my sensitivities up and down, and it's still just jerky. And so remember there was that thread on Twitter a while back of all the cheats games do?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. One of the things they mentioned in that thing was that anytime you sweep your target reticle over the center of the screen, the game will kind of unconsciously slow it down so that it, like, most players want to track the camera back to like, the horizon line. Mm-hmm. And I think this game doesn't do that, and I'm very aware of it since every other game does that now.
Right.
What I'm kind of pulling out of my ass, but I don't know what's wrong with these controls, but they're very bad.
So this game is currently $14.99 on the eShop. Would you say it's worth a shot at that? Or
I think it is. If you want a kind of a like an easygoing game, something like No Man's Sky, something like Metroid, this is very worth checking out.
Yeah, cool. I loved No Man's Sky, and I'm talking like first release pre. Updates and all that stuff. I had a really good time with it. It's
broken, shitty version that no one liked. You liked it.
I liked it. And yeah. I mean, a lot of things that people complained about is about the stuff that wasn't there. They weren't complaining about,
right?
Oh, this is broken. This is broken. They're like, no, this isn't there, and it's supposed to be. And I was like, well, so it's still fun. And this sounds kind of like that, just with bad controls.
Yeah,
yeah.
A year and a half later, they were proved wrong.
Yeah. One thing I will say that against the No Man's Sky comparison is that when you go to a planet in No Man's Sky, you can explore the entire planet.
Yes.
But with this, when you go to a planet, you get a small little section. And some of the planet sections are really tiny. That's like maybe one or two rooms connected by like an open space. Mm. And other times there'll be huge open savannas and there'll be giant triceratops that's just kind of chilling on the plains and stuff. But so your mileage varies very much between how much is on a planet.
Okay. Okay.
There you go, Ty. There's your dinosaur planet. We talked about that for an obscene amount of time on AC/DC.
Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. Those good times.
Probably the most anyone's ever talked about it on a podcast in the last 15 years.
Yeah, but that's pretty much all I've got on Morphite. There'll be a review up soon on thefamicast.com, so check it out when it goes up.
I will.
Cool. Well, like Cyrus, I've also been playing a game for review. I've mentioned it several times already, but it's called This is the Police. And wow.
can you play that track, 5050, let it go, let it go? You know that one?
I don't know.
We're playing in the background right now.
Yeah, oh god. Might work for me. Might not be there, sorry. Yeah, so what this game is, and it's really kind of hard to tell what it is just from looking at screenshots, but what this is, it's an adventure strategy type of game, and it's like real time management type of things too. And this game has actually been out for a little while on other systems. It originally came out in the summer of 2016 on I think Windows, Mac, Linux, and then it just came out on PS4 and Xbone just earlier this year. It originally started as a Kickstarter back in 2015, and they got funded, and yeah, and I guess they raised enough money. The main character in the game, his name's Jack Boyd, but he is voiced by none other than, what the heck's his name? John St. John, the voice actor of Duke Nukem.
Come get some.
So I was...
Balls of steel.
Yeah,
balls,
I was trying
balls,
to...
Balls.
I was trying to catch, like, to see if I could catch that, but I just couldn't catch any of that from his portrayal in this game. It's a little unfortunate. Maybe there's some kind of Easter egg where he just, like, you know, I'm all out of gum, or, you know, whatever.
Balls.
But, so, what this game is, like I said, it's an adventure strategy, real-time management type of thing, and you're this police commissioner, and you're basically, you have 180 days left before you have to resign just because of some shit that's going on between you and the mayor and stuff. And yeah, so basically you're just kind of going through just managing, sending cops and detectives to different places in town. And again, too, this isn't said anywhere in the game. I only read this like elsewhere, like I think in the press release or maybe on like the website for the publisher or something or developer. This is supposed to be set in the late 80s. They do kind of have like 80s vibe, I guess, with like their clothes and stuff like that. So that's pretty good. But I mean, the first thing you'll notice whenever you see at least like some kind of cinematic from the game, it's cel shaded, and it's a really unique kind of cool style. The characters don't have like distinguishable faces, but you know, they have facial hair. You'll see facial hair, just like no eyeballs or mouth or anything like that. So it's pretty cool. And so, yeah, and I mean, most of the time, like, there aren't, like, animated cutscenes or anything like that. Most of the time, it's just the story is told in, like, little sequences of, like, little screenshots, basically, from, like, inside of this engine. And they pop up from here to time, here and there, too. So, about the gameplay, so I've posted some pictures on my Twitter and maybe seen them by now, but basically whenever you're playing the game, you're kind of looking down on this isometric view of the city on like this model of the city that's like on this guy's desk. And it's not just a model, because then like if you send out like your police officers or whatever, you see like little cars like kind of going to where they need to go in this city. And so that's kind of neat, but you know, it is, you do got to manage like how many police officers you want to send to certain locations. Cause every kind of randomly every once in a while, some kind of crime happens, you know, as it does in the real world, I guess.
It's the world we live in, Danny.
What's that?
It's the world we live in.
Yes. So you got to decide to like send officers to like certain areas. Some of these things are like kind of funny and weird. It's like, okay, this guy is running around naked, threatening to like kill himself, and you have to send like some officers there to, you know.
That sounds hilarious.
Yeah, I mean,
don't dox me.
You don't really see any of this stuff. It's just like a lot of like,
bro.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty funny things that you can do.
What other than that?
Yes. You just mentioned? There was one. Basically, I sent some officers to go after some guys, and they ended up kind of in like a little bit of a car chase or something via like, you know, text. And it said like the van swerved off the road and crashed right through a sex shop. you see like the bad guys there, and you have like some options. Occasionally you do for like what you need to do. It's like, I think this one was like tase them, shoot them, or like, yes, tell them to stop, and then like, or throw, you know, a rubber dildo at him or something.
Yes,
I mean,
attach the taser to dildo. Can you do that?
No, it's not that complicated.
Tase him in the asshole.
Yeah. Over and over. No, but then you know, like I said, you're sending out police officers to these. You kind of have to decide how many you want to send, how you're going to be using your resources. You can also send out like the SWAT team if there's something that's going on, like a freaking riot or something like that. You can also opt to send out a paddy wagon if you're going to have a like riot situation or something.
At the dildo factory or?
At the dildo factory.
Okay.
And like, what happens is like these crimes just kind of pop up randomly like on your screen, and you press like the ZL button, and then you could kind of just choose how you do it and where you go to. And when that little section is done, it'll show you like the results, like, okay, your officers are fine, you arrested the guy, nobody else died. Or right, like horror situations, oh, your police officers ran into a trap, they're all dead. You know, and then you have like, I had ran into a situation where I think I only had like five officers on duty, and I sent four of them to a place, and they just went into some kind of mafia trap, and they all died. So I had one police officer left, and he was too scared to go out and do anything by himself.
He was thick of this eggshell.
Yes. So, oh boy. Yeah. But there's some really funny stuff here. I was genuinely surprised. Like, I started playing this game on Saturday, and I was originally like, okay, I'll just play this like before lunch. And I was kind of keep going through. I was like, all right, I'll keep playing. And I seriously was basically playing that game off and on from about noon on Saturday until about 2 a.m. So I was really having a good time with it. And you know, it, another thing about like the gameplay too, if you're not solving enough crimes, taking enough criminals off the street, you're going to start losing your funding from City Hall. So like, they'll be like, hey, you're not doing your job right, so we have to fire some police officers, which then makes it harder to do your job and stuff. But one other thing that they have too is also like an investigation type of a segment as well. Not quite like Phoenix Wright level stuff, but after sending out like a detective to some kind of a scene, they'll come back and they'll keep gathering like information and stuff like that. And usually they'll have some kind of interviews or something like that. So you can read through the interviews and try to piece together some pictures that they have of the event, like as it happened, because I guess that's what happens when detectives, they just have snapshots of.
Yeah. Bird's eye view.
I mean, it's not, you know, realistic, but it's, you then basically you get these pictures and you're trying to put them in the correct order. And then once you do, then you magically know who the bad guy is and you can send the cops to go get him.
What was he doing in the warehouse with a dildo?
Yeah, exactly. I haven't ran into any dildo shots, but there is some like nudity in this game, oddly enough. And it's yeah, surprisingly not something that's,
I'll say, for kids.
Children. Yeah, definitely not.
Are you playing this undocked away from the wife?
Oh no, I, whatever.
Right on the TV.
I have no shame.
HD dildos for all.
Exactly.
Good. This is $29.99 on the eShop, by the way.
Yes. This is a bit pricey. A physical release is coming in early December. This is not a game for everybody. This isn't a game that everybody's going to like. It's a really slow burn. It
looks like a PC game.
Yeah.
It feels like you should be on a PC, but it's on.
It is. I don't know. I'm really enjoying it, and even after probably playing somewhere between 8 to 10 hours, I'm probably only about halfway through it. So,
more time than you put into Mario.
Yeah, I know. So I want to, you know, I'm doing a review on this, so I kind of wanted to, you know, play as much as I could so I can.
God bless you.
Yeah, but no, I'm really enjoying it. This is actually a lot of fun. Be sure to check out my review, which maybe by the time this is posted, you'll be able to see it on thefamicast.com. So be sure to check that out. But I think that's gonna go ahead and do it for me and new business, unless you guys have any questions about the exciting world of This Is the Police.
Let's play the music again. 50-50, here they come, here they come.
All my one recommendation for anyone listening is to watch the trailer for this game. It doesn't explain anything.
Yes, exactly.
I've just been listening to the song the whole time you were talking, by the way.
What?
Never mind. Let's keep it rolling.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to tackle Now Playing at TheFamicCast.com. Now playing at thefamicast.com. James, what do we got lined up here first?
They came. What do we got? Oh yeah, Famicast AC/DC. I may have mentioned it like 3 times already in this episode.
It's real good.
Episode 2. Let's say the critics are saying it's the most acclaimed podcast since something else that was really good. Nah, I just made that up.
That sliced bread podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, episode 2 is all about the Star Fox series, and me and Ty put our professional game designing hats on which we always wear anyway. It's inside our brains. And we fixed the Star Fox series for you all. You're welcome. Jesus. Do we get any thanks for this? We just fixed the whole Star Fox series for you. So yeah, we just created like the best Star Fox game ever. But after that was after shitting on all the other Star Fox games and why they were so terrible and why they need improving. So yeah, give it a listen. Level 3 patrons, it'll be showing up in your feed already. If you're not a patron, check it out. Do it.
Hope you got $3.
That's and right.
You can learn James's shocking secret.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything, for the chapters that Ty added in, that's quite interesting, too.
Oh, you saw that. Good, good.
Damn right I saw that. Good times. Good times. Danny? Cool.
Well, as I mentioned on the last episode, there's a review up from me on Famicast.com for Yono and the Celestial Elephants. You can check that out. That's up fully, and like I said, This is a Police. There's going to be a review for that out very, very soon. So keep
here comes the police.
Exactly.
Is that going to be your tagline?
Sure. And Sai.
So for me, on the Now Playing, I've got a couple of reviews up this week, month, time period. I've got a Cine Moray X review and Morphite review, like I talked about.
Yep. For all the people who are not playing Mario Odyssey, they're going to review every other goddamn game that's coming out on the eShop to make up for it.
There is a chance there could be a Sonic Forces review up there soon, too. We'll see how I feel tomorrow when it launches.
Our first 1 out of 10. Brilliant. Oh, no. Wait. No. We've already had a 1 out of 10.
Yeah. That was me.
Troll and I was 1 out of 10, wasn't it?
I saw a pretty like A+ comment today. Was that so? Sonic Forces got a like 35 out of 40 on Famitsu.
Yes.
And then Polygon just ran a review of it like today, and it got like 5 out of 10. Mm. And but one of the comments was like, "Hey, Famitsu gave it 5. It was 5 off a perfect score in Famitsu and 5 off a perfect score in Polygon, basically."
Man, Famitsu, throw it in the trash, seriously.
I don't trust either of those publications.
Yeah, they're pretty wildly on opposite scales to each other. It was, I'm waiting for further news sources.
Maybe the game is just middling. The truth is in the middle.
Did Mario or Zelda get, like, a 40 out of 40? I don't think either of them did. Maybe they did.
Yeah, that's my Famitsu. Totally untrustworthy.
But Nintendogs did.
Hashtag never forget.
Yes.
I will never forget.
Danny?
All right. And last up, be sure to keep an eye out on the Famicast Twitter and Facebook. I'm putting together a contest. So stay tuned to social media for that to find out more about how you can win some fabulous prizes.
Can I enter?
No.
Okay.
Unless you want to. If you're good enough to trick me, it's fine.
Oh, challenge accepted.
Hey, I'm just, you know, that's fine. I'm kind of that way with all my students. If they're good enough to cheat without me noticing, hey, that's fine.
I'll use one of my many.
We can run a separate contest the next week. Is like, fake or real, which account is really tight and which one is not?
All right. Cool. Well, that's going to do it for Now Playing at thefamicast.com. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with the James.
Thank you.
So, James.
Yeah?
We're back. You know what time it is.
News. It's Japanese.
Feel free just to unleash the beast. It's totally fine. I love it. I'm probably the only one. I don't think you even love it.
I think everyone loves it.
Okay, good.
/ despises me and everything about it.
Well, like, ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so lots of new, middling amount of news, I guess, for this episode. Something that we had mentioned on the last show Basically, they just announced, I think maybe the day that we started recording, was that there was going to be a Nintendo Direct for mobile Animal Crossing. And
where we incorrectly said it's exclusive to Japan and won't be coming to any other countries. And then like 2 hours after they went live, the American one and European ones are announced. Brilliant.
Yes.
Well done, Danny.
And then, yeah, it's, oh God. So basically,
I don't think anyone likes Animal Crossing on this podcast, do they? Cyrus is probably the nearest to liking cute things, right? So Cyrus, do you like Animal Crossing?
I don't like Animal Crossing, but
there you go.
My fiance plays a lot of it. So okay. I'm at least familiar with the game.
So he has to like it. And there is actually a character called Cyrus.
Yes. He's a main character in this version of the game.
He was mentioned in this direct.
Yeah, I'm probably going to pick up his amiibo at some point and just leave him on my desk in future.
Is he a blue sheep?
He's a blue, like, alpaca, I think. Alpaca,
okay. Right. Yeah, I just got on the record saying I hate Cyrus.
Man, I hate that guy in the game, too. He's one, like, of all the, like, really cute designs of characters in that game, I had to get this stupid alpaca.
Yeah, and the game character is also pretty bad.
Well, the name of this new game is Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. Even in Japanese, it's pretty similar. Dobutsu no Mori Pocket Camp. And it's coming out on iOS and Android later this month. It's already
coming out? What do you mean?
Yeah, it's doing a test run down under right now in Australia and New Zealand. That just came out pretty much like the day after that direct. So if you have an account,
yeah. Lots of fake Australian accounts made that day.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, what this looks like, this looks kind of like this dumbed down version of regular Animal Crossing, just with smaller areas, but maybe not even dumbed down. Like, there's still a lot of the stuff that you can do, and it's free to play. So, yeah, it's just the regular free to play model stuff. So,
Tom, take your real money. Think about that.
Well, yeah.
You actually can make you pay your own actual money to pay for your fake house.
Yeah.
That's what they've been leading up to since the dawn of the game back on the N64/GameCube.
I hope they touch on that in the game. That'd be kind of funny.
But mental. Absolutely mental. Well,
the dialogue in Animal Crossing games is generally very funny and self-aware sometimes, so I'd say they probably will.
Yeah. Cyrus, is Chica interested in this game at all?
No, she played like a couple of mobile games and she hated how they get their hooks into you. She doesn't really want to do it.
Okay.
Ah, she's a keeper.
Well, I might be the only guy playing this, so maybe we can look forward to that in some future episode of Famicast. So.
That's right. Oh, God. Looking forward to it. But the interesting thing is that the as-yet unannounced, unmentioned Switch version of the game, Animal Crossing Switch, or whatever it'll be called, will probably tie in with this, because that's what they've said all along. Like, you know, this mobile version will tie in with it. But I think they were asked this in an interview, and they kind of went, "Switch version? What?" So that means that they're definitely working on it, but they're just not ready to talk about it yet.
Yeah, ever since they released maybe the Wii version of Animal Crossing, which I did not buy. I haven't bought an Animal Crossing since DS, which was pretty decent. Okay, no, I fucking lied. I got the 3DS one. But
literally the most recent version.
Okay, I've missed out on one.
And he's also going to download this newest one.
Yes. Brilliant. But one thing I've always kind of wished that they would have done is this totally change the visual style. Not like make it gritty or something, but I'm talking like make this thing cell shaded. Why not?
Right. Or do anything.
Yeah, it's just the same like base N64 graphics and just kind of boring.
The weird thing was when Miis became a thing, that it was so similar to the Animal Crossing boy and girl. There was this kind of like weird like crossover, so they ended up doing like Mii masks and something in Animal Crossing. It's like, well, just fucking make it a Mii then. Or change the design so you don't need to do that, you know. There's this weird kind of middle ground that they were doing because they're just so tedious with the design. It's weird. Get rid of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, moving
Let's talk about real video games.
Yeah, well, moving on to another game that none of us are really interested in. Xenoblade Chronicles 2 has a Nintendo Direct happening this Tuesday. So by the time this episode's done and recorded, you're going to know all about it. So have fun.
Ah, the Famicast curse.
There it is.
Coming out to you 48 hours before any major event.
Pretty much. So I don't, the next one, James, like you probably know a lot more about this, and you could talk to us about what's been going on in Europe.
Ooh.
So Splatfest, the one that has been recently announced for Japan, and it's about karage, or basically like fried chicken.
And if it's fried chicken cartilage.
It's not cartilage. It's not the cartilage.
Cartilage.
It's not.
No, cartilage is a whole different thing. I can't remember what that's called, but it's nasty.
What's that called then, Benny?
God damn it. It's not karage. Karage is just like, it's just some kind of specially fried chicken.
Okay. Specially fried chicken, SFC.
Yes.
So, yeah, basically the Japanese Splatfest theme is, so how do you eat your fried chicken? With lemon or without? So, thus confirming Japan is the least vegetarian-friendly country on Earth. And as Cyrus kind of correctly said, hard mode is being a vegetarian in Japan, isn't it? My life is hard mode. Yeah, if I was like playing the Hulk in the Avengers, it's like, come on, James, it's time to start living your life in hard mode. And it's like, that's the secret about me. I've always been living in hard mode. But anyway, yeah, that's coming up next weekend. But the European one just finished, and me and Cyrus actually both played in it. It was warm breakfast versus cold breakfast. So
Europe keeping it real with those Splatfest choices as usual.
So Danny and Ty, you just got to throw down your what team you would go for. Danny, warm breakfast, cold breakfast?
Warm breakfast.
Ty?
What?
Like,
which do you prefer, a warm breakfast, like toast or hot stuff, or cold breakfast, like cereals and yogurts?
I'm going to have to think about this one.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You're, from the basis of how many cold breakfast teams we found, you're the only person who thought about it. Warm team.
Well, actually, Cyrus, I looked at that, and it was actually quite close. It was like 51-49.
Really?
I really don't know. So, yeah, warm breakfast won. Well done, Danny. You chose the correct option. Good. So, like, yeah.
I like them both.
Honestly. Yeah, I like them both. I mean, I'd probably eat more cold breakfast. Yeah. But, like, if I could, if I had the time, I would have a fried egg sandwich with beans and, you know, whatever, hot cup of tea every morning if I had the fucking time for it. But I don't. But anyway, we thought, okay, well, me and Cyrus, we've never actually played Splatoon 2 together, so this would be a perfect time to like jump on the Splatfest together, and you know, we're on the same team. But we couldn't
connect. Have maintained our streak of not playing together.
Right, we played at the same time. So like for the team Splatfest, Cyrus, like you have to have four people, right?
Yeah, if you want to have like a matches with friends, you have to have a full team of exactly four people.
Oh, what was the pair thing that you need to be like, would have ranked unlocked or whatever?
I don't know. I think there is literally no way to do it. We couldn't figure it out anyway.
I swear to God, I thought there was like a way you could pair up, but apparently not. You can, like, we also tried like me just playing and then Cyrus trying to join me because you can actually say play with friends, but that didn't work either. It said like, cannot join this friend. Even though we're literally on like the same server at the same time. So I don't understand that. So yeah, Nintendo, as usual, making it as difficult as possible for friends to play together on the internet. But the thing to celebrate with the fact was that I could actually play in a fucking Splatfest for once. Like, because like, if you remember, the last two, I couldn't. And so I actually tried earlier that day. This is a Sunday, by the way. In Japan, if you're playing on a European server in Japan, you can only either play it after midnight on Saturday. I think it starts at midnight Saturday. So yeah, good luck with that. Or you have to play before midnight on a Sunday. I think it usually closes like midnight on a Sunday or soon after anyway. So yeah, I was playing it Sunday. We were playing it Sunday night. And I could actually join the game, but it was all warm breakfast. It was warm breakfast versus warm breakfast, which is why Cyrus assumed that, you know, no one chose cold breakfast. But you, Cyrus, did you get one match?
I got one versus cold breakfast, and I got like three or four games versus warm breakfast.
Right. And it's weird, isn't it? Like, do they count as like, if it's warm versus warm, obviously warm is going to win no matter what. Does that count as a win for warm? Like, it's weird, right? So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I won all my games, but they were all versus warm breakfast teams. So I don't know. And I also got to play on the new what was that kind of mysterious Splatfest only stage? I forgot what it's called now. Mystery Station or something. Sneaky Station or something like that. It's kind of like this weird like dark world, kind of like upside down from Stranger Things kind of world. It's weird. That was the first time I played that. Because Splatoon 1 didn't have like Splatfest unique stages. I mean, they actually did change the stages little ways, but they were generally just like the same thing. So it's nice to have a completely new stage for that. But yeah, the time I played that was, I got like a, like the losing team got like 4% or something like that. It was ridiculous. It's like 80-4 that I won. It's mental. I've never actually won that much before.
Yeah,
yep. Rest in peace. I actually felt sorry for the guys, but you know, anyway. So yeah, I can't remember what the last American one was. That's been and gone, hasn't it? A while back?
I think so. I'm not sure. But I, you know, I did this new one for Japan. It's coming up.
Oh yeah, it was the Halloween one. It was
werewolf. Yeah, werewolf versus vampire, or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was great timing. But yeah. That was while the Europeans were fighting about toilet roll.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to play the Japanese one. I haven't booted up Splatoon 2 in a while, but this would be a good excuse to do it. So.
What is? Oh, you're doing the Japanese one. Yeah,
yeah.
So, Danny, I mean, you three guys, I'm assuming, eat karaage?
Yeah.
So, hell yes.
Lemon or without lemon?
I usually eat it without lemon just because I'd forget about it if it's sitting on there.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Also, while we're back on that, it's nankotsu is the chicken cartilage.
I was thinking in my head, tonkotsu. I was like, no, that is not it. That's not it. Yeah.
That's delicious pork.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cyrus and Ty, with or without lemon?
Without lemon. Fuck the citruses.
So I'll use the lemon if I have it there. I guess I don't see it served with lemon a lot around here.
Yeah. I go to cheap places. They can't afford lemons.
I know. Same.
Yeah. Right. You ain't getting any vitamin C here, boy.
Nope.
Right.
Nope.
I get all the vitamin C
I just need. Whiskey and Coke and fried chicken.
There you go.
Could be worse ways to go. All right. Well, the next part of the news is actually from one of our buddies, Japanese Nintendo.
What's his name? Actual name?
I was hoping you could tell me that. Liam.
No, his actual name is Japanese Nintendo.
Oh, yes.
First name, Japanese.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
so... James, you want to maybe say or go through a couple of those things?
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Explorer's Edition is coming out everywhere, and also Japan. It's coming out on the 23rd of the month, priced at 7,500 yen. So is this including the DLC?
No, this comes with like a mini guide and like a double-sided map of Hyrule.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think the DLC is still separate with it. It's just like the guide edition.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, they have something like this in the States too, as we know. But yeah, it's nothing. It's like essentially, as I heard somebody say, it's almost like a third special edition of the game, more or less, you know? You got the one that came with the big sword. You got the one that came with like a CD and no big sword. And then just the regular edition. And then now they have this. So...
All right. Okay. So next up, we have the Switch sold 2 million units in Japan as of the end of October, and Odyssey sold 500,000 in 3 days.
Yeah.
So that's doing pretty well. Yeah, a bunch of my students bought it. The one of the guys had like, I think he had like 180 moons on like, it was like the day after it came out. So I was like, fucking hell. And they actually came to the lesson as well. I was amazed. It was like a first period lesson. I was like, wow, Jesus. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
And then Uno.
Yes. Okay.
Is coming to the Switch eShop. It's already come out by the time you listen to this. And it's going to cost 1,200 yen. And it comes with a Rabbids tie-in?
You know, what I was just on like Nintendo's website looking at like eShop releases the other day, and I noticed this just out of nowhere. And I was like, what in the hell? And I saw Rabbids, and I was like, double. What in the hell is going on? But yeah, Ubisoft. Ubisoft happened.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well done to Ubisoft. Well, that's coming out before the actual proper Rabbids game.
Yeah, here in Japan. That's right. That's slated for January 18th here. So look forward to that because you've never played it.
Okay. Wow.
I'd say there's one other very important bit of news.
Mobile news.
I'd say even before that. In relation to the Wii U.
Danny wants to play more Wii Karaoke U?
No. I'm waiting for when this is going to be coming out on Switch, because it's scheduled to come out on Switch this calendar year.
Been updated to remove the post-Miiverse function, so yeah, thanks for that. That's a nice update. It's like, update your game now to lose features!
I wonder if it's like get broken if you tried to post it, so maybe that's why they did it. So.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I haven't tried like Mario Maker or any of those other games that had Miiverse since it died. So Nintendo said that they were going to be, they're still planning on releasing new smartphone applications, on the order of 2 to 3 a year, mm-hmm. although they haven't said what's going to come after Animal Crossing. And, Google Home, which has like really been advertised heavily on the trains here in Japan. I don't know if you guys noticed this Google Home, that, you know, stupid speaker thing that I still don't understand why people buy those.
On TV too. Like, even my mother-in-law was talking. He's like, oh, what's that thing? Hey, Google.
So there's a free Pikachu talk released for Google Home and Alexa-ready devices. They allow players to chat to Pikachu. Okay. Super Mario Run was updated to fit the iPhone X screen. Mm-hmm. Danny, have you got an iPhone X?
I'm not made of money, man. It's upgraded last year.
On Friday, one of my students got up 5 minutes after the lesson had started, went out the room, and came back 35 minutes later with an iPhone X in his hand. He just wanted to beat the hustle, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I marked him down as absent.
Yeah, good. And, bastard. Not you, the kid.
Yeah, damn right. okay, I think that is it. Super Mario Odyssey is the fastest selling game in Super Mario history in both North America and Europe. It's pretty amazing.
Oh yeah.
And Super Famicom Mini has now sold 2 million units worldwide. Well, Super Famicom / Super Nintendo Mini. Yep. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, we already talked about Sonic Forces. So enough of that.
Yes, and expect more on that the next episode after Sai gets it.
Rest in peace.
Yay, it's so exciting.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the news. So we're going to come back at you with some feedback. Okie doke. And we're back with some feedback. If you want to have your question, comment, complaint, criticism read out on the air, feel free to email us at thefamicast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @thefamicast or Facebook @thefamicast. And you can have your comments or whatever read out like these guys. James, what do we got?
Well, at the last episode, we announced that you can win a code for a free download of a spin-off show of your choice if you send us some questions, some good questions. And you did. And we chose a winner. And that winner is Mr. Russ Greeno. People, long-time listeners will probably remember that name. He's written in quite a few times. So congratulations to Russ. I've actually been in contact with Russ, and I asked him what show he wanted, and he requested Sound Test.
Ooh. So
that was my music based show, and also one of Cyrus's fiance's favorite shows, right, Cyrus?
Yeah, she's she actually asked me, is like, why haven't I put on the second episode yet? So I'll have to remedy that.
This is a shout out to Chica. Yeah. So yeah, Cyrus. Sorry, Russ. Cyrus, Russ. Which one's on the show? Which
one's on? Right.
Actually, gave us two good questions, which is probably why he won. So good job, Russ. Question one: when the crew get back to their respective home countries, what is the hardest thing to re-acclimatize to? So yeah, that's for England, Ireland, America, and wherever the hell Danny's from.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Well, I don't know what I keep. I keep saying sumimasen to everybody all the time.
You don't, do you?
I do. Chica was laughing at me all the time when we went back to Ireland last time because I kept saying it to everyone.
With an Irish accent. Oh, sumimasen there, lad.
Oh, Jesus, sumimasen.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Never heard that before.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
For me, it's like sometimes the physical, like bowing, or even like when you're cutting through like people, you know, some Japanese people, they'll put their hand out like, hey, I'm coming through. Like, right. I do that. And people are like probably thinking, what in the hell is wrong with this weirdo?
Actually, yeah, students ask me like, oh, because I say, oh, don't do this. Like when you go to America or England or whatever, don't do this hand chopping moment. People don't do that. And they'll say, and then they ask me, so what do you do when you want to walk in front of someone? And I just say, you just fucking walk in front of them and say, fuck you.
Yeah, it's like pull the Harrison Ford. Fuck off!
Oh, oh, Dan Koopman's first experience in America.
Oh. What?
Yeah. Get out of the way, you piece of shit! I believe that is the most accepted thing to say in the States.
Oh boy! Yeah, welcome to America. Get out of the way, you piece of shit! Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Man, customs is a bitch. I think, I don't know, about thing hardest thing for me to acclimatize to is nothing I do, because, you know, I never do anything wrong, obviously, but like, yeah, when I go to like other people's houses and I see them like walk into their house with like shit all over their shoes, and then they walk straight into their living room in this, like, you know, they've got like a nice white like carpet in there, and they just sit there and then they put their feet up on the sofa with the feet, I'm like, fuck, what the fuck are you doing, man? Are,
yes,
you crazy?
That, it almost, it's like a physical pain in my chest, right, whenever I see someone do that now.
Yeah, like, I mean, I grew up in a house which, like, we took our shoes off, but, like, so it's never usually my house, but, like, yeah, like, my friends' houses or whatever, when I meet, you know, old friends and stuff, I'm like, oh, and they just give their feet, like, a quick rub on the rug as the doormat when they come in. It's like, oh, yeah, let me just scrape this dog shit off my shoe. You know, yeah, I got, like, 60% of it off. Let me go into the bedroom now and, you know, jump on the bed. It's like, man, I can never get used to that. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, like, I'm the same. Like, most of the time at my own house, like, we took our shoes off, especially if it's, like, raining or you step in dog shit. Right. It's just, yeah, you know, you don't want that shit all over the place. Even if I'm at somebody else's house, I don't want to get my ass kicked or get killed, like, literally with a gun. So,
true story.
You know? Yeah,
Ty comes from the upcoming Ubisoft game.
Yeah,
Far Cry 5.
Floors. Yes, Far Cry 5. Gosh, where to start? Gun store. That's a thing. All the things Danny said, like the little nods and gestures and stuff that you pick up when you live in Japan, turn you into a weirdo when you head back to the States.
Can't engage in eye contact anymore.
Medicine, prescription medicine being advertised on TV really fucked me up.
That freaked me out every time I went to visit Chica in America. It was just, right, like, so much medicine on TV.
What, they have medicine on TV here?
No, like prescription medicine. Like, ask your doctor to prescribe you this medicine, idiot.
Well, they have, like, over-the-counter medicine advertisements here, but then they'll end with a kind of warning, like ding dong. Have you ever had an advert that ends with ding dong? That's a medicine advert.
No, but I think in America they are required to read all the side effects.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. That's one of my favorite things about American commercials. Yeah,
especially like when they're really fucked up.
Yeah, well, isn't what's that Simpsons one? It's like may cause irreversible damage to the kidneys and liver.
Yeah, like pretty much.
Something like that. Yeah, I always thought that was a joke. I always thought everything in Simpsons was a joke until I actually saw the real life thing.
And then, yeah.
Okay, it's actually based on reality.
Yep. Also, when you're in Japan for a while, you get good and used to the food, and then you come back to America, where like the flavor and everything is like so strong and rich, it just like punches you in the face.
Yeah,
literally sometimes.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Whoa.
No, I feel you. It's yeah, definitely. And most of the time, okay, this is a blanket statement. So a lot of the time, okay.
My favorite.
Sometimes when Japanese people come to America, I'll talk to them, every single one of them. They'll be like, oh my God, you're from America, right? And like, yeah, and the food's terrible there. And I was like, no, not really. But I think they're thinking of it like from a Japanese perspective, where a lot of Japanese food has like taste differences and stuff like that. It's not like overly salty. You know what I mean? Typically speaking, for some things. Yeah.
Well, in America, they'll probably say, like, you want some hot sauce on that sushi, boy?
Right? Yeah, hey, man. In the summertime, I was at a Japanese restaurant, using air quotes, and they had, like, some sushi rolls. And
served by a Chinese
waiter. Spicy tuna. Yeah. I was with a group of Japanese people, and I don't know who the hell thought that was a good idea. It wasn't me. But
yeah, shout out to the Japanese restaurant in Leeds in the UK, which has like Chinese waiters and Thai waiters, and none of them can speak Japanese or have ever been to Japan. Good times. But yeah, I guess you guys have the worst trouble, don't you? Because in America, lots of things are legal that are not even talked about. Never mind being legal in Japan, right?
Well, Ty, I don't know about you, but like, do you ever see the signs outside of places in America that says, like, you cannot bring your gun in here? Like, do you ever see any of those signs?
Very rarely.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought you must carry at least two handguns to get it into the shop.
Into this bar.
Yeah. Excuse me, son. I noticed you only carrying one handgun. Take one of mine and you can enter the store. That kind of thing.
Let's see. I think that kind of jumped out at me was Montana has like semi-legal weed, like medical marijuana. So there are dispensaries and there are signs up for those. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, when I was in Colorado,
my Japanese friends saw this. Their eyes would melt like right out of their sockets.
Yeah, I had to explain that type of stuff to my wife too. Just like, no, this is not the same as like, you know, I don't know, black tar heroin. I mean, you know, I guess. But then again, I haven't listened to the Japanese government, so I don't know.
Actually, going back to the food thing for one second, like Danny, same thing. You know, obviously, I'm coming from the UK, which is like, you know, infamously the worst food in the world, is according to everyone. But like, when I go home, it's like fucking heaven on earth, because like in England, like every single restaurant has to have at least like three vegetarian options, and everything is good for me. It's like, you go to like a burger restaurant, there'll be like three veggie burgers on the meal and they're all taste fucking amazing. There's like so many like more different kinds of breads and soups and all these kind of like things, which I love. And it's like, I'm fucking noshing down every day. I'm like in food paradise, you know. It's like, but you know, I just accept that everyone thinks our food is shit, you know, whatever.
Not for me. Don't. For the record, I don't.
You have a good time.
Then again, I've never been to the UK, so what the fuck do I know?
You'd have a good time. Yeah. Russ does have a second question before we forget. If you could shrink down to the size of a Pikmin, what Nintendo console would become your onion, i.e. the place where you would live at night, or where the Pikmin live at night? So you got to have like a, you got to choose like a Nintendo console as your base. What would it be?
This.
Where you would live in, I guess?
I would live inside of this, which is my NES Game Boy SP, because it's sitting on the shelf and very close.
Danny's video is gone. apologize to any video listeners, as he chose the perfect time to turn off his video when he was actually showing something on video.
No. I didn't turn it off. It just cut off.
Okay. Try again. No, it's gone again.
It doesn't want
us to see whatever you're showing.
It doesn't matter. It's my Game Boy Advance SP, my NES one, so that's it.
That was amazing, the timing of the video cutting out.
Yeah. I'd probably do like the original Game Boy, because I want that to be like the pyramids. I want it to be still there thousands of years from now, untouched.
Yeah, that's right. The one that survived a nuclear blast. Isn't that in the like Nintendo America shop in New York? And Indy Jones, a tiny Indy Jones is inside it.
Yeah, the Indiana Jones equivalent of Pikmin just like climbed inside it.
I don't know, I think a GameCube would be good. It's like a nice house-shaped shape. I think that would be a pretty cool to live inside. Yeah.
It's just like a Japanese apartment, it's just a very small box.
Yeah, it's like one of those capsule hotels with the four like controller ports at the front. Just slide yourself in.
Exactly.
Room for four. And the actual size of an actual Japanese apartment. True story.
Yes, indeed.
Ty's going to say something weird.
Yeah, I was actually like trying to think of the weirdest possible answer, and I think I got it.
Okay,
it's going to be the Nintendo PlayStation.
Oh,
not too weird. Nice.
Yeah, two floors. What's up?
Right, you got the CD tray as well.
Yeah.
Or is it a CD tray or like a one that sucks the CDs in? I can't remember. I think it's a tray.
I don't know if the CD vacuuming devices were invented yet.
Right.
So it must be a tray. So, yeah, because yeah, like the first revision of the Sega CD was a tray as well.
Right.
And
cool.
Multimedia revolution.
That's right. Now you're playing with power. So yeah, there you go, Russ. There's your questions answered, and thank you for sending it in. Hope you enjoy the episode. If you want to win a download code like Russ did, yeah, send in some good questions. Next up, we had a couple of tweets that we ran some like polls on Twitter at the Famicast, and the first one was in Japan. There are three options for buying Mario Odyssey. There were for a download from the eShop. Getting the physical game card or getting a download card, like one of those little physical credit card things. How are you planning on buying it? And most people said they were better getting the physical game card, which is weird. Danny, you did that, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a good deal. So yeah. I wouldn't put that card. The card, like I've said before, these cards, especially for the Switch, they look cool. Like ARMS one looks really cool, and the Splatoon 2, stuff like that.
And the other poll we did was, I think Danny did this one, do you have a micro SD card for your Nintendo Switch? Almost 60% said yes. Another 11% said getting one soon. Actually, on this note, I actually bought one as well.
Oh, okay.
I got myself a 128 gig one.
Okay.
So yeah, I was surprised how easy it was to like transfer all my pictures and videos. Like, yeah. It's like literally one button. It's like transfer all pictures and videos to micro SD. Yes. And then it was done. And then it automatically saves all new ones onto the micro SD from that point onwards. So I was like, wow, really impressed with that. It was good.
Right. Yeah. For the games themselves though, it's kind of lame. You could, I mean, you have to archive the software if it's saved to your system, and then you can just re-download it and it's fine. That's if you want to free up like your system.
Ones that are already on your system, you mean? Okay, yeah. I'll just leave the ones that are on there, whatever. Just going forward, I'll put it on there. Oh, yeah, so another thing, because it was actually my birthday between last episode and this episode. So I hadn't actually got my presents at the time. So, yeah, I got Mario Odyssey, obviously. I got, the micro SD card, very exciting. But I also got I got my first ever Sony PlayStation headphones.
Oh,
So this was related to the update that we talked about last episode. I was chatting to a few people on Twitter, and most people said like the Sony ones were like really good, and like good weight and like good quality. And yeah, I ended up getting them, and it's like it comes with like a little USB dongle. Put it in the back of my Switch, worked beautifully. It's amazing, really nice. And finally, I've got my, you know, dad way of playing video games back. Got my big headphones, and I can play games as loud as I want on the TV. It's awesome.
Sweet.
The only thing is, like, if you turn off the headphones, it doesn't then automatically come out the TV. As long as the dongle is in, it will turn off the sound on the TV. So you actually have to remove the dongle if you want it to come out on the TV. That's the only downside I've got. But I was really impressed with like just like the quality, like the build quality and like the packaging and everything. Sony, it's like very Nintendo or Apple-esque, you know, nice packaging. I like it. It's a good job. So if you're thinking about getting some wireless ones, I'm enjoying my Sony ones. Next up, we got a tweet from Ballyman91. I believe he does the podcast with MBZ, who was on the show, you know, a while back. He says, don't know how up for a Harvest Moon on Switch game I'll be after Stardew. The farming simulator itch is well and truly scratched. So, yeah, I think we tweeted about the new Harvest Moon game coming to Switch. So, yeah. Does anyone care about Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley?
No, I know there was a lot of hype about Stardew. Like, a lot of people really wanted that game, which kind of surprised me. I didn't realize it was such a sought-after title, but it seems it was.
It's cheap. It looks pretty fun. I don't know. I want to buy it. It's just I'm trying to balance whatever
hell of a time sink. I'd be more likely to play Stardew over Animal Crossing, and I think there's a lot of crossover between those games, you know, like daily chore simulator or whatever you want to call it.
But I mean, after This Is the Police, which I like, I've realized I like this type of game where you're just doing like this really kind of mundane type of thing.
Zelda, what's it called? Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, hey, that's Sai's got my back. That's different.
I'm all about grinding games for eternity.
Yeah. Mundane tasks daily, yeah, exactly. Disney Infinity, Zelda, Hyrule Warriors, whatever. Okay. Next one is from Fake Name 64. One joke I forgot to say in episode 112 of the Famicast. I'm playing Tiny Barbarian DX, which coincidentally is also what Danny Biv calls his penis.
It's true. Can't lie.
Yeah. So, yeah, oh, yeah. Go and read the Tiny Barbarian review. And that's to Fake Name 64. Whoever that may be. Next is we got some, I got a patron's comments on Patreon. We got one from Fidel Suarez, who upped his donation from like $6 to $10, I think it was. We talked about it last episode. He says, I've enjoyed the pods for many years. And decided I like it so much, I decided to up the pledge. The new content is amazing. I love all the exclusive podcasts. Ty's Champion Edition podcast inspired me to love fighting games. I've been really into Guilty Gear the past 2 months. Still a total scrub, though.
Gosh.
As for the other pods, what can I say? More content from the four of you is always appreciated by me. I never miss a single podcast, so keep up the great good work, everyone.
Wow.
So yeah, thank you, Phil. That really means a lot to us. And yeah, like the effort that we put into the main show and spin-off shows, it's like it's nice that, you know, it's appreciated. And yeah, you are awesome.
Yeah, for real.
Thank you.
Gosh.
That was a really nice email.
Thank you. Ty's blushing.
I know.
I am.
No snarky comments. Yeah. No snarky comments from anyone for that comment. Amazing. No. Thank you, Fidel.
Yeah, I got nothing. Thanks so much.
So, yeah. Cool. I think that's a wrap, Danny.
Okie doke. we're going to go ahead and close out the show. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that. You can do that at Danny Biv. James, where can we find you, dude?
Fake name 64. Shit! fuck. I mean, at Family Complicated.
Okay, nice save. Ty.
Super Cat Drugs.
There it is. And Cyrus.
At Celsi on the Twitters.
Cool. All right. Well, for these three jokers, that's going to go ahead and do it for FamiCast 113. Thanks for joining us, and we will catch you next time.
FamiCast.
Peace.